But anyway, let's roll the intro and actually get into this stuff. I know you're on a schedule, so here we go. 3, 2, 1, intro.
Already had two coffees earlier.
Perfect. This is my third double shot. So whatever. So anyway, welcome officially to the official Digital Cash Rundown 154. That's how many of these episodes I've done. I'm joined with the one and only Paul Puey of Edge Wallet. How's it going, man?
All good. Thanks for having me again. Happy to chat some about the happenings in the crypto world.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and you know, being respectful of the shorter time schedule, which I hate to say it because as much as I love chatting with you, but it does work out for my schedule today because I have so much stuff going on that I need to do. But so, yeah, before we get into that, let's hit in the little coin ETM radar thing because they're kind enough to throw me a bag here. Let me pull up the little script. Now they got it. This podcast is sponsored by Coin ATM Radar. When buying crypto with cash, an ATM is much more reliable and safer than meeting some random person in a random place and getting stabbed. I always add that for some reason. Anyway, and unlike an exchange, which can freeze your account, you truly own all the crypto you buy. With Coin ATM Radar, you can find crypto ATMs and other services where you can buy or sell cryptocurrencies for cash, or you know, mostly sell in my case, of course. I've never bought from an ATM, obviously. And on their website, you can search by coin, address, if the ATM supports selling as well as buying. You can also search by geo area. And you can also check and compare actual current fees from different ATMs. So if you do want to find out more, head over to coinatmradar.com. That's coinatmradar.com. All right, a little faster than usual, but very appreciative of those guys. And I use them when traveling, and especially next month, unfortunately, there's not... It's like 45 minutes outside of where we're going. I'll mention that at the end of the show. We're the closest ATM to sell. And I'm like 50-50 on if I'm going to go take a train all the way out there and do that and come back. Well, we'll see. You know, my life is needlessly complicated, but everyone knows that. So first thing, the big thing is the ETH Foundation drama, there's always something. Here we go. Let's hit it. Throw up the CoinDesk article link. Ethereum Foundation faces inquiry from a government. Fortune saying SEC is investigating ETH. Fortune magazine, I guess. After the publication of this article, Fortune reported the SEC seeks to classify Ethereum as a security. I think you had a little bit of an alternative take maybe before we went live with this stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the intricate details of when the government will go and ask for a secretive inquiry where a company, an organization can't expose that they've been hit with an inquiry and what the details are of that inquiry. But typically speaking, I hear of inquiries that are secretive as being primarily like DOJ type of inquiries, like criminal investigations, less, hey, is this going to become a security or not? And while if it is a security, there's an aspect of breaking the law, it's not to the same degree as, okay, there was a criminal charge of money laundering or fraud. Those are the type of inquiries you typically hear of. And just about every company in the cryptocurrency space has probably received some level of inquiry in that regard, especially exchanges and wallets. That happens with a pretty regular basis for a lot of the largest companies. You're Kraken getting those, you're Coinbase getting those all the time. And that's kind of par for the course. With respect to the SEC, we've typically, if you think about it, you typically hear of SEC inquiries as being very public. Like, hey, they slapped, Coinbase with this thing, and they've slapped Kraken with that thing, and it goes public almost near instantly. And so it feels like that isn't necessarily an SEC thing. And now it might be coinciding. It might be that the SEC is actually looking at trying to get ETH classified as a security, knowing Gensler, it's in his best interest, because that seems to be his choice. It's not actually in his best interest. I think it's a complete career suicide, but he thinks it's in his best interest to go and classify all crypto as a security, even though has struggled to do so. So regardless of that, he might be concurrently doing that while a different government agency may be submitting a secretive inquiry due to, once again, some fraudulent activity or anti-money laundering laws. So classic example, maybe the Ethereum Foundation had paid somebody, and they sent money to this address, or and the DOJ determines, hey, here's a handful of addresses that they think have done illicit activities. Hey, Ethereum Foundation, have you paid any of these addresses? If so, who are the names of those people that have received money onto those addresses? That would be a classic inquiry that you would hear. And usually it's a criminal level activity versus the classification of an asset security or not. You know, that it just doesn't seem to map with what I would call prior, you know, historical events. And once again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just pattern matching. Here's what I've seen in the past. Here's what I see today.
So well, thankfully, this is not the Digital Cash Legal Rundown. This is just a couple of dudes chatting about the news from
Yet. Wait till you have a lawyer on your show, or if you haven't already, maybe you already have had a lawyer on your show.
I've had people with law backgrounds, but I'm going to have an explicit lawyer. But then again, I have to save it up for a topic. Maybe that'd be better for like a recorded show instead of just these, live ones.
I do think that the SEC has a case if they tried to put the case on ETH back when it had its original ICO. I think there's some matching there to the viewpoint of a security, but there has been claim by lawyers that something can transition, like an asset, a commodity, can transition from being a security to becoming a commodity or some other type of asset property over time. And the case could be made that at this point, Ethereum is so big, it's owned by such a vast majority of people. So many different entities contribute to its success that it couldn't be deemed a security at this point in time. Because sure, there's an Ethereum Foundation. The Ethereum Foundation has a lot less to contribute to the success of Ethereum in comparison to many other projects. Think like a Hedera Hashgraph, which I think that's one of the blockchains that, if I'm not mistaken, Gary Gensler himself was singing the praises of at an MIT class. So, if you look at it right now, ETH Denver, I just came back from ETH Denver. Mm-hmm. That entire organization was a bootstrap meetup out of Denver that grew and grew and grew. Maybe there was a little bit of Ethereum Foundation funds that went into it, but at this point, it's not an Ethereum Foundation event, but it's a huge, huge driver for the adoption of Ethereum as well. And maybe I don't know this, but we're going to both be over at ETHDAM. All right. And that is a Crypto Canal event. You know, hats off to the team over at Crypto Canal, Eleanor Blanc, to really bootstrap that event. That has little to do, maybe nothing. I'm not sure if that was funded at all by the Ethereum Foundation.
Probably not.
But why not? And so you realize that so much now goes into the success of Ethereum that is completely independent of the foundation, which was the initial issuer of the ICO. At this point, doesn't have as much to do with the success of Ethereum.
Yeah, I mean, that's very well put. I don't think it has nothing to do with it. The case, a reasonable case, could not really be made that is a security. But a case could be made because of the ICO and all that. If you want to be like, oh, back in the past.
That it was one. Yeah, a reasonable case could be made that it was a security because people bought that. What was it? Like, hey, you buy something with the expectation of profit from the efforts of an organization, by a person or organization, you know, that was issuing out that asset. And so now it's no one's issuing the asset except for the validators, really, or the ones kind of issuing new coins, the protocol issuing the coins. It's fairly well distributed across the world. And many organizations help it succeed.
Yeah, one could definitely make the argument that any proof of stake project that has had some kind of an initial distribution that wasn't, you know, which you have to with proof of stake, because otherwise, literally, because you can't get coins without having stake, right? Without having coins. So something that starts proof of stake since the beginning, one could argue that they're all potentially securities, maybe.
Possibly, unless you bootstrap using the distribution of another asset. So if someone wanted to, for example, start another chain that had maybe some similarities to Ethereum, it could airdrop the initial assets onto the existing holders of ETH, right? And then from then on, it goes proof of stake, right? So like a chain fork, similar to like a Bitcoin Cash when it forked from Bitcoin, except that maybe Bitcoin Cash could say, okay, at the point that we fork over from Bitcoin, August 2017, I believe it was, right at that fork point, everyone gets Bitcoin Cash, but guess what? We are now proof of stake. right at that moment, then Bitcoin Cash in its entire existence could have been proof of stake without having to be a security or having to issue anything. So that is one way that you can do it. And I know like Pulse Chain is effectively a model for that. Like they didn't, they love or hate Richard Hart. I'm not trying to make any opinions on Richard Hart, right? But Pulse Chain effectively airdropped, you know, PLS token on every ETH holder, right? I don't know if it's proof of stake right now, actually. That's a good question. I think it is.
I think it is. I think it is. One of those like ETH models that just is fewer validators, larger scale, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. And so therefore, they didn't have to issue a token that could be deemed a security the way Ethereum had to, because they are basically using the existing distribution as a bootstrap.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Whatever happens with the... with the situation, who really knows? But I mean, that's the other thing about a security is it's a legal term, and I mean, I don't really care. Like, I don't really care what the government says, except about what they're going to do about it.
That's my Bruce point. You know Bruce, right? He's like almost a neighbor with you and the whole crew over at New Hampshire. Yep. He's a big securities guy, and I like one thing that he says: "Hey, securities are not bad. You know, everyone thinks that as soon as something gets tagged as a security, it's like the death knell of that asset and whatnot. And you know, and securities are good. You know, they've created the establishment of companies and them allowing to get funded and people being able to reap the benefits of the success of a company. And really, the problem is the friction that it takes to be a security, the friction that it takes to because acquire a security because of government. Now, granted, government existed." And had securities at a time when friction was low to be a security and friction was very low to acquire it. Do you remember paper stock certificates, right? Mm-hmm. The good old days of paper, they're like the equivalent of cash. It was very low friction to hand over. It still is relatively low friction hand over cash as long as you're in the same room with someone. And it is very low friction hand over a paper stock certificate. And that is you know, a classic bearer asset. And it's the fact that we've eliminated the idea that securities could become bearer assets. That's what really makes things that are tagged as securities terrible. It's like, oh my God, please don't tag me as a security. Because you've got the friction of no longer being a bearer asset and having to impart restrictions on the holding, the sending, the receiving of such asset. So if we can actually revert back to basically not quite 100 years ago, but close to that, then suddenly something being a security isn't all that bad. And I recently had a meetup here at our offices, and we actually had Paul Brodsky, one of the partners over at Pantera Capital, speak about what he's really excited about. One of the things that he was excited about was that crypto being a means for companies to capitalize themselves, meaning kind of a replacement to classic stock shares, whether that be a token or a tokenized issuance of security or a hybrid where it's like maybe it's this new category where it's not quite a security, it's not quite a full utility or what do you call it, commodity. It's something a company issues, and sure, you can get rewards from the company's dividends, but it's not so much a security in the sense that they don't have control over more issuance of this asset. Many different organizations can contribute to its success. It becomes this weird hybrid, and the friction is low to acquire it, distribute it, you know, and send it. Just because you issued it first initially doesn't mean you control it going forward. And a lot of securities laws imply that the company that initially issued it is unilaterally responsible for it, not just controlling it, responsible for its success in the sense that the only thing that makes number go up is, okay, this company, because it has assets, and usually securities give you a right to access those assets. So if a company gets liquidated by owning a percentage share of that company, percentage security of that company, you gain access to that. So therefore, if the company's worth nothing, those shares are worth nothing. And that's a very polar opposite in crypto, where sure, I sell this asset to bootstrap the build out of this protocol. But after that, the company can go away and the protocol can still have value. Is that this? It doesn't map to the way existing securities are. So in that sense, you know, there needs to be this kind of like third categorization. There's many categories, another categorization that these company issued digital token assets can be lumped into, and it just doesn't exist today.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think that we're going to see, with the inability to enforce these laws in some cases, I think we're going to see the evolution of these laws. So maybe lightning round time. Do you have time to talk about the Bitcoin tweets, or are we just going right to ETH to AMP?
Ooh, lightning. If it's truly lightning, we got 3 minutes. Lightning. We can do 60 seconds on Bitcoin tweets, 60 seconds on ETH.
Yes. And then, let's do that. So let me just throw these on the tweet. The @Bitcoin Twitter handle's gone through some iterations, but they've been posting some stuff that, in my opinion, seems a little scammy. Like this one that has people raining down coins. It says, feeling the FOMO? Don't miss out. Do your research and dive in cautiously. Bitcoin. Yeah, and hashtag Bitcoin investing. And then this other one right here has this little happy anthropomorphic Bitcoin coin. It says, smiling from ear to ear as the profits roll in. Dive into the world of crypto and let your portfolio shine.
It's funny you said crypto because it doesn't seem like a maxi account anymore. Dive into the world of crypto and your portfolio. Portfolio almost implies like more than
or one fiat thing. As well as Bitcoin.
It could be, sure, it's like Bitcoin, dollars, euro, but you know.
That's a fantastic silver lining to this whole thing.
If you say crypto and let your portfolio shine, it pretty much implies more than Bitcoin, right? You're strongly implying more than Bitcoin.
Maybe not more cryptos than Bitcoin, but yeah.
Maybe, but it seems to imply that. So scammy, you know, I'll give them a little bit more credit than call it scammy. I'll call it more degen than I would expect out of a Bitcoin maxi-ish account, you know?
Yeah.
In the sense that it's ride this wave. Get in now before it's too late. It sounds scammy, but we also know at the end of the day, at least Bitcoin and a lot of the top 10 assets, not so much scam, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're risk. But we wouldn't call them scams. All right, what's next, Lightning? We got another minute.
Okay, so one more minute. Let's hit on ETHDAM. All right, here we go. So ETHDAM, April 12th through 14th, 2024.
Smack on top of one of those days is smack on top of my anniversary. So,
fantastic,
Eleanor, I'm missing my own anniversary to be able to head over to ETHDAM.
She should come with you. I'm just saying. So, who's this guy right here? Paul Play. Edge, CEO, co-founder. Oh, who's this guy over here? Joel Valenzuela, Dash, business development marketing. Perfect. We're going to be there. I'm speaking on like 8 million different panels and things like that. It's going to be a great time. I love those guys. They do awesome work. Oh, Sterling's here too. I haven't seen him in a while. Anyway, it's going to be a good time. If you're in Amsterdam, you absolutely should go. It's going to be a good time. Yeah, if you're not.
You should go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amsterdam's beautiful, especially this time of the year. It'll be great. Yeah. So even if you're not in Amsterdam, which I'm not and you're not, Joel, we're going. So you should go too.
Yeah. So why don't you just hop off? I'll give a little epilogue for the folks after you hop off.
Okay. I don't have to hop off. I want to give one last thing. One thing I love about ETHDAM, I've said this on LinkedIn, said it on Twitter, is it says ETH, which means Ethereum, DAM, Amsterdam. But the big differentiator between ETHDAM and ETH Denver, ETH New York, is that they focus on privacy. So Eleanor, hats off to you for having a focus on privacy. Even have speakers from protocols that have been shut down by the government up there speaking their heart out. And that's why I love this event. And I'm really happy to be able to take part in this and support Eleanor and her ecosystem. So I will see you guys over there. Sorry to have to cut out. Joel, I'll let you continue on and wrap this up for everyone listening.
All right. Take care, everyone. It's been great. Cheers. All right. Let me switch this view real quick as he hops out. All right, now let me go to just me. Hi guys. That was great. Please go to ETHDAM. It's gonna be a good conference. It's kind of one of those things where crypto is so wide, so diverse. There's so many different communities and people and stuff like that. There's so many perspectives, and especially in the multi-coin space, right? There's a lot of like tribalism. There's number go up stuff. There's a lot of whatever. The ETHDAM people are some of the few people I would call like my people, as far as like the organizers are, you know, good friends of mine, but also they're super aligned on like the principles of freedom and the principles of privacy and decentralization and all these kinds of things. Well, at the same time as they're not maxis. And that's a fantastic thing. And I would say that about the Edge people as well. You notice I've had a lot of Edge people on this show, even though I'm in no way, shape, or form affiliated with the company. Because Paul's a great friend. The others are good friends too. But they are aligned on that. They're super pro-freedom, pro-privacy, pro-decentralization, all this kind of stuff, and like not maxi. And just pleasant, fun, happy people. And there's a lot of not that in the crypto space. There's a lot of, sometimes my favorite people are also a little maxi, whatever. Like, so if you want a good time, Amsterdam's going to be great. I mean, I personally love being going to Amsterdam, but the conference is well run, and I'm going to be, I think, speaking on a few different things. So show up. It'll be a good time. And it's always a great experiment for me whenever I do travel to figure out the newer ways and better ways to just keep living on crypto in these new environments. Of course, the easy thing is, of course, if you have a crypto style, like bank account type thing, like a Coinbase, then you could always just get your Coinbase card or whatever, just travel the world is fine. It's just like having a bank, but it's in crypto. But like for someone like me who tries to have self-custody for everything and no KYC for almost everything, everything I can, then it becomes a little more tricky. So feel free to stop by and ask me about how I'm handling it this time, especially because there's not really any good crypto ATMs close by that I can, you know, get some cash out of the crypto and just whenever I'm traveling. But also, there is a restaurant, an Indonesian restaurant in Amsterdam that takes Bitcoin and has for very many years. And I was there last year. The guy was very excited. And I will be there again. I'm going to stop in. So you guys should stop in there too. So feel free to stop in, say hi. Amsterdam's not that far from the rest of Europe if you're in Europe. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm also, I believe, going to be in Dubai at the end of that month, the end of April. So at the Web3 Dubai. So at some point, I'm going to give my whole travel schedule to people. Again, sorry, Naomi. I'm not trying to just dox me and my location all over the place. But at some point, I'm going to give my conference schedule, whatever, just because I love to meet up with you guys. And if you guys are going to be there, it'd be a good time to, you know, chat about all kinds of stuff. Crypto is a huge world, and it's virtual and pseudonymous or whatever, but the actual getting together real people in real locations is pretty nice. So anyway, that's just a fun little rant. Thanks, Paul, for being on. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Next week, I'll see you next week. I got a couple of fun interviews before then, so make sure to look out for those. And don't forget that your phone's spying on you, taxation is theft, and fiat is a scam. Start living on crypto before it's too late. Go to coinatmradar.com and check out their stuff. Please do. All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.